But today in your lesson from John chapter number 4, or John chapter number 2, I'm sorry, lesson number 4, we are looking at the second part of this lesson on believing but not believing. Today being December the 21st, 2025, the Sunday before Christmas. Man, I want to encourage you. Believing on Christ is the most important thing anybody in this world could ever do. We've had, so far, I know of at least 12 people that trusted Christ as their Savior through this Christmas outreach that we had Thursday. And that's just on the reports that I've gotten back so far. And folks, the greatest gift that you could ever receive is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And man, what a gift. But you know, in Jesus' day, there were people that believed in Him, but they failed to believe on Him. And they did not put their faith and trust in Him. They saw the miracles. They saw all the things that He did. But they didn't realize that it was the Savior, the promised Messiah, that had come to deliver them from sin. And that's what our Savior has done for us. That's why we ought to ring the bells, man. Make a proclamation that the Lord Jesus has been born for a purpose today. He had a plan for us. And that plan is to not only be saved, but to tell others so that they too might be saved. Now last week we looked at the miracle at the wedding. We saw everything there at the marriage of Cana. We saw the signs that Jesus gave to prove who He was. All right, we gave you that last week. We showed you the significance, okay, of what Jesus did. And then I think we got down. Did we get down through the cleansing of the temple? I don't remember. Yeah, we did. Yep. And he overthrew the tables and got all upset with them. Yeah, he did that. All right, we got down through all that. We got down to John's summation last week, verses 23 through 25. And then today I wanted you to see the visit of Nicodemus. And this is important. I want you to see this for a purpose today. There are many folks today that are religious. They're religious. They believe in God. Okay? You know, the book of James tells us that the devils in hell believe in God and they tremble. But they're sure not going to be in heaven, are they? And you know what? There are a lot of folks that believe in God. Oh, they believe that there is a God. But they never believed on Him. They never placed their faith and trust in Him as their Savior. And here today we meet a man in this chapter here. We're going to look at John chapter number 3. And in John chapter number 3 today, we see this visit of Nicodemus. Now if you're coming in, Brother Earl, make sure you get you a gift. There's a gift up here for everybody. All right? I don't know if they got one back there at the back, but somebody get him one there, okay? All right, make sure you get, your power went out. We had several folks that power were out this past week. Some of them just got it on yesterday because of the winds and stuff, so pray for them. All right, but I want us to look here at the visit of Nicodemus in John chapter number 3. Now, the statement that John wrote in verse number 25 of chapter 2, I want you to look at this just a moment. Let's go back up to verse 24, chapter 2. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. When this religious leader of the Jewish people came to Jesus by night, Jesus already knew what He was there for. He was seeking answers to the question that He had. And folks, listen to me. There are people today seeking answers. Thursday night, man, I was so excited. Brother Ralph and I went down to Hampstead. We had one of the Christmas outreach families that we were delivering stuff to. And the the children were sitting at the table, and the father was sitting at the end, and I asked them the question, do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know for certain today, if you were to die, that you'd go to heaven? And he looked at the kids, and the kids looked at him, and they said, well, we were just talking about that this week, because we don't know. We don't know what it's all about. And I said, well, that's what the Christmas season is all about. And I started right here in John chapter 3 about how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I explained to them about what Christmas was all about. And it worked right into the plan of salvation. And you know what? Within just a few minutes, that dad and those two children were bowing their head at that table and asked the Lord Jesus to come in their heart and save them. Why? Because of the gift that God gave that first Christmas morning. He gave it for a purpose, folks. And he gave it that we could share it with everybody. I was thinking in here last night. I tried to get the little Christmas kisses that were all different colors. And they were completely sold out. Everywhere I went, they were sold out, sold out, sold out. And I thought, Rudolph came through my mind. It's the kid in me. It's the kid in me. And you remember the Yosemite guy that was singing the song about silver and gold and all this stuff? Well, I gave you a lapel pin that said ring the bells, and that was in gold. And so I got the kisses that were all in silver. So you got your silver and gold today. Amen. But there's a lot of people trusting in silver and gold. And you know what? They don't realize silver and gold's not going to help them when they stand before God. And as I was laying these things out last night, I thought about on one side of that little paper I left for you, I had the silver, then had the gold, and then on the other side of it, I had the two candy canes and the little peppermint there for you to remind you there's a balance. And you know what? Jesus Christ outweighs all the silver, all the gold. It's worth it all to know Christ as your Savior. It's worth it all. We see that candy cane, and we think about the blood, the purity. You know, you hold it upside down, it's a J. You hold it the other way up, it's like a shepherd's staff. He's our great shepherd. It tells the story of what Christ came to do for us. But folks get it all mixed up. And Nicodemus was so religious. He was, you know, he was so heavenly minded, he was no earthly good, okay, to anybody. He knew what the law said. He knew a lot of things about God, but he didn't know the Savior. And so here, John wrote about it, and he identifies Nicodemus right here in verse number 1. And he said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher sent, come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus was very religious, but sadly he was very lost. He did not know the Savior. He had a lot of knowledge in his head, and a lot of people have a lot of knowledge in their head, but their heart is empty. It's void. They don't know what, they just keep trying to find something to fill up the joy, fill up the joy, fill up the joy. And the world stuff will fill it up for a moment. There is pleasure in sin for a season, and then the season changes. And so Jesus heard Nicodemus. And here in verse number 3, Jesus displayed to Nicodemus his coming, his purpose in coming to this earth. And that purpose being to seek and to save that which was lost. Now Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he butters him up. He said, man, we know that thou art a man sent from God. Thou art a teacher sent from God. No man could do any of these things that you're doing except God be with him. And Jesus looks beyond all the intellect and he looks to the heart of the matter. And he said this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Boy, I bet that was like a sharp pin and a big balloon, wasn't it, in Nicodemus' heart. He's thinking, what, you're telling me I'm not going to see the kingdom of God? I'm a teacher. I'm a ruler among the Jews. I know all these things. And Jesus is basically telling him, honey, you don't know nothing. You don't know anything yet because you don't know the Savior. And so Jesus begins to show him. Jesus knew the need of Nicodemus' heart, just like he knew the need of your heart, just like he knew the need of my heart before I was saved. He knew the condition of Nicodemus' soul. And you know what else? He knew the solution for Nicodemus' hunger, and it was salvation. He needed the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Look at verse number 4. Nicodemus sees this illustration that Jesus gives about being born again, but he only sees it with physical eyes. There are so many people today that will tell you, are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I'm a good person. You know, I'm as good as that preacher down there, and they may be. I know some preachers, they may be better than some of those preachers, all right? But you know what? That's not going to get them to heaven. I want you to turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 5 just a moment. I want you to see this just a moment. I don't have this in my notes, but it just came to my mind. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to look at verse number 20. Jesus said unto them, he said, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness, your good deeds, your good works, all the righteous acts that you perform, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Buddy, that's a hard thing to swallow. You got to be better than the Pharisees? You got to be better than the scribes? Nobody can do that. And they're right. You can't. Because salvation is not based on our good deeds. It's based on God's grace. Amen. His grace and His mercy. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you got to be willing to accept that gift. So Nicodemus is looking at this thing with physical eyes. And he says unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And all the ladies said, no way, Jose. Boy, I bet there are a lot of glad ladies that found out about that. You couldn't. That's not what Jesus was talking about. Listen, he was looking at it as a physical thing, something that he had to do. But in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, look at this. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to look at this. Jesus said, you got to have a physical birth, but you got to also have a spiritual birth. Born of water, every baby inside that mother's womb is protected by God in that sack of water. It's protection. God protects it. He takes care of them. And you know what? There's a physical side to a birth that everybody, I can look at you and tell you've had a physical birth. Amen. I can look at you. I don't know why I need a birth certificate. Can't they tell I've been born? But you know what? Listen, Jesus said that physical birth is not enough. There's got to be a spiritual birth. Listen, that soul, when God breathed into us the breath of life and man became a living soul, that soul is going to spend eternity somewhere forever. Either in heaven with God or in hell separated from God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. He was answering his question. The flesh is only flesh, and that's all it's good for. It gets old. Okay? It gets dirty. It needs bathing every day. Okay, it needs grooming every day. You know, my wife gets in there and she spends time painting and fixing up things every morning, all right? Hey, I don't mind her doing that. Listen, if the old barn needs painting, paint it, amen. Listen, paint it. I'm just saying, okay? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let's get back in the lesson here now, okay? All right. Be a long 8-hour drive tomorrow, but let me tell you. Mercy. I'm glad I got Precious up here with me. Amen. But he said this, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And notice that spirit is capitalized. You got to be born of God. You got to have that new birth. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus just could not understand it. And you know what? Nicodemus said, man, how can these things be? And Jesus looks at him, he says, art thou a teacher of Israel? And you don't understand these things? You don't know what we're talking about here? And Jesus gives him a story here. And you go back and you read all this. I don't have time to read it all. But Nicodemus asked there in verse number 9, he said, how can these things be? It's amazing grace. That's how it can be. You can't explain it. I can't explain God's love for me, but it's real. And it changes people's lives. And he puts within us a dose of the can't help it, Joyce, that you just got to tell somebody. Amen? She's talking about that this morning. And man, listen, you want to tell folks about what Christ has done for you, what Christ can do for them. And Jesus goes through here, and he said, listen, verse 11 and 12, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? You know, Jesus' illustrations about salvation, it was an earthly illustration. He was trying to help him to understand. But the heavenly things was the deeper meanings of what he was trying to tell him. Listen, it's more than just this physical. Listen, Christmas is more than just gathering around the tree, cutting the lights on, passing out gifts, throwing the paper into the fire and watch all the colors, you know, from the wrapping paper, and saying, well, I guess that's all. No. Man, I get to celebrate Christmas every day of the year, amen? We keep our Christmas trees up all year long. And I was telling somebody this morning, I love to go downstairs in the basement, in our basement area. And we got it fixed up, a little family room down there, a little kitchenette down there. We got the fire, another wood stove and fireplace down there. Love to cut out all the lights, just have the wood stove going. And the Christmas lights are going. And I look at those lights fading in and fading out and fading on and fading off. And I'm trying to count them. You say, what in the world are you trying to count the lights on your tree for? Because I'm counting every one of them as a blessing from God. And you know what? The more I count, the more I lose count. You can't count all the blessings that God has given unto you. But isn't it amazing that the manger he was born in was made of a tree? The cross that he died upon was made of a tree. And the little tree that we put up and we put lights on it and put a star at the top of it and all these other things on it, that little tree reminds us of what Christ has done for us. And you know what? At the foot of that tree, there are usually gifts. We wrap them up and put them around the foot of that tree, don't we? And you know what? It's at the foot of the cross, that tree on which Calvary represents Jesus dying for your sins and for mine. It's at the foot of the cross where everybody can come and receive the gift of salvation that's given for each of us to know today. And Jesus was trying to help him to see that. So he just didn't understand. So he goes down in there and we see here how that Jesus explained that he didn't really know anything. Nicodemus didn't know anything. And he tries to tell him about these things, and he tells him a story, verses 14 and 15. A story from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And you can go back and look at this up sometime. In Numbers chapter 21, Jesus said, or John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, he's talking about Numbers chapter 21. And he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Now I want you to turn back to Numbers chapter 21 just a moment. What was the story that Jesus was telling him about? Well, it was the story of the children of Israel. And they're there in the wilderness. And the way in the wilderness was hard. There was no water except God provided. There was no food unless God provided it. And yet, every time that God provided, they failed to trust him anymore. And so they began to murmur. And look at it in verse number 4, chapter 21, verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. How many times do you get discouraged because of the way of life today? We all get discouraged. We get disheartened. But look at what happened. The people began to speak against God and against Moses, God's man. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? That was the question they asked. For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. In other words, they were tired of eating the manna. They were tired of what God had been giving unto them. Listen, don't ever get tired of what God gives you, because if you're not careful, he'll take it away from you. But look what happened. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Do you remember the introduction of the first serpent in the Bible? Book of Genesis chapter 3. Where the serpent bit into Adam and Eve. Caused them to disobey the word of God. Sin came in, and the consequences of sin, sorrow, death, came as a consequence of being bitten by that serpent, Satan. Well, here, the people rebelled against God, and God said, you know what, I'm fed up with this mess. And he sent fiery serpents, and they began to bite those people. Some of them even died. Therefore, verse number 7, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. We have sinned. They recognized the fact that they had done wrong in the eyes of God. For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses, being the man of God that he was, the Bible said, and Moses prayed for the people. You know what? God heard that prayer. And you know what God did? Look at the next verse. The Lord God said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, a representation, a symbol of sin. Make it. And make it upon a pole. Set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone, not just the good ones, not just the bad ones, not just the religious ones, but everyone that is bitten. And folks, that's every one of us. We've all been bitten by the serpent. Man, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, he looketh on it. He has faith. He trusts the word of God, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Brass was a symbol of judgment. It was a symbol for judgment. Judgment was put upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. That's the story. It was by faith that those people had to trust what God said he would do with Moses. You know what? I imagine there were lots of people that said, I'm not listening to that. I'm just going to die. Just let me die. And they did. They died in their sin. But many looked and believed. They trusted the word of God. That, go back to John chapter 3, is what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. As Moses lifted up the serpent, that representation of sin upon the cross, on the pole, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Man had sinned. And there was only one way to cure it. And that was for the sinless Lamb of God to pay the debt. I want you to turn over. This verse comes to my mind. Man, I got to do this before we get going here. Let me make sure I got the verse right. I think it's chapter 5. I'm just looking at, making sure I got it right. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, verse 21. There we go. There it is. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. When God saw his Son upon that cross, his Son came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible said here, for he, speaking of God the Father, hath made him, speaking of Jesus, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what Christ did for us on the cross was to take your payment, my payment for sin, and he paid it in full. And that's why when everything had been accomplished, when everything had been done, Jesus looked up to the Father and said, Father, it is finished. God's work of salvation was complete. And whosoever looketh upon him, as Moses lifted up that serpent and the people looked and believed the word of God, they lived. When we look to Jesus, we put our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ upon the cross, we're saved. Amen. We are born again. And look what he said. Verse 15. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then look at verses 16 through 21. I love this. For God, he gives the reason, for God so loved the world. You know what? The little gifts I gave you today are a token, a very small token of our love for you. It's not a lot. But you know what? It comes from my heart. And what God did for us on Calvary came from the heart of God. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That word perish means to die without hope, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, look at this, is not condemned. When you place your faith and trust in Christ, your sins have been washed away. Amen. You are no longer condemned. Why? Because when Jesus looks at you now, he sees the blood of his Son. Amen. And red, you know, the Bible said our sin is red, crimson, scarlet. Okay. It's something that sticks out. And you know what? When you apply the red blood of Christ to the red sins that was in my heart and life, you don't see the sin anymore. And red on red then becomes white as snow. That's what Christ has done for us. There's no more condemnation. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Folks, listen to me today. The conclusion of this thing is this. There is a belief today that folks have in God, but they have not yet placed that belief upon God for salvation. And my question today to you would be this. Are you believing the miracles, okay? Or have you experienced the miracle of salvation? Man, there's a difference. There's a major difference. And I'm here today to tell you, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world. And that's what Christmas is all about. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get you out. Father, Lord, I love you today. And I thank you, God, for this blessed Christmas season. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross for my sins. And Lord, I want to thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity I have to teach this class and to teach them the love of God, which surpasses anything else in this world. Help us, Lord, not to just believe in the miracles and the things that you do, but God, help every person in this room today to know that they have believed on you and they've received that gift of salvation. Please, Lord, bless us this Christmas season. Help us never to forget what it's all about. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor as he stands to preach. Bless the cantata tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be in Sunday school, okay?